Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, good morning and welcome. It's Thursday on the Morning Show with Preston Scott, 5 minutes past the hour of 6 a.m. in the Eastern Time Zone, 5 a.m. in the Central, wherever, however you have found us and are listening. Thank you very much and good morning. I'm Preston Scott. That is Grant Allen and it's show 47. Easy to remember at the customer service desk. Day 554 of America held hostage. It is July 28th, quickly running out of the month. And, today's going to be an interesting day, not just on the program, but in general. We start with some scripture, though. Psalm 34, 17, 18, and 19. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. I'll be honest with you. Some of that deliverance doesn't happen until the other side of eternity. Because Jesus made it very clear that the world is a rough and rocky place. The writers of the New Testament made it clear, in this world you will have trouble. You're going to face troubles. But the promise here, the word worry, back in the day, used to mean to strangle. By the 1500s, it was used to mean harassed by rough or severe treatment, similar to wolves attacking sheep. We define worry a little bit differently now. Worry is to be defined in this day and age as to, in essence, terrorize yourself. To ponder, meditate, think on, disturbing, upsetting, spirit-crushing things. In the middle of it all, God sends Jesus. And from that point forward, worry takes a back seat. No matter how it's defined through time, worry takes a back seat to God. So with God's help, those worries, those troubles fall to the wayside. They get put in perspective. You get relief. Relief comes in some form. Sometimes you just have to walk through it, but you're able to walk through it. Sometimes you're delivered from it. Gone. So reboot your faith today. And fear not. For God is with you. There you go. Today we will talk to Steve Stewart, hopefully. Dr. Matthew Zaidemann in today for Dr. David Hartz. He'll be joining us. We're going to talk about the state of mind as we grow older, how to keep ourselves cognitively functioning at our very best. You could use maybe Joe Biden as an example of how not to function at your very best. Todd Callender, attorney, in the midst of all this COVID stuff, litigating, representing some very high-profile cases, he will join us. I've charged him with something tough. Biggest concerns right now he wants on our radar. He's going to break it down. Sal Nuzzo phoning in. Busy morning, Thursday on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
I do what you're talking about. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Oh, man. The big story in the press box changed overnight because of a vote late yesterday in Congress. Or not a vote, sorry. An agreement. We'll unpack that just a little bit. I'm just shaking my head at just... How can any of you Democrats be party to that party? I don't get it. What are you thinking? All right, I got to stop. I got to stop. I'll put everybody in a bad mood early on. Don't want to do that. Let's do a little trivia here. I'm going to test you out.
No, boy. We'll see how this goes.
I think you're going to get a lot of this.
Okay.
A lot of these, I should say. On July 28th, let's note that there's very little that's happened in history on this date. So, you know, and you could spend a good 10, 15 minutes kicking around the idea. Why do you think that is? Is it kind of... summer blues? Is it why very little is, for example, this is it. 1945, a U.S. bomber plows into the 79th floor of the frog-shrouded Empire State Building, killing more than a dozen.
I didn't even know that happened.
Yep. 1932, Herbert Hoover, president, orders the U.S. Army to evict the bonus army of World War I veterans who had gathered in Washington, D.C. seeking cash payments for bonus certificates the government had issued. And in 1896, the city of Miami incorporated. That's it. That's it. What was Miami's nickname? Miami's nickname.
I have no idea.
Give you a bit of a hint. The city grew so fast, people said it was growing like magic. Isn't it interesting how it was called the Magic City because of its growth, yet Orlando has a basketball team called the Magic? Isn't that crazy? Here's some more. Boston's nickname is?
Beantown.
Chicago.
Windy City.
Dallas.
Oh, I should know that. I should know that.
Big D.
Oh, okay.
Denver. Yeah.
Mile High City.
Detroit.
Motor City.
Or Motown. L.A. Los Angeles. Tinseltown?
Tinseltown,
nope,
yes.
No, nope, it's actually the City of Angels.
Okay.
Milwaukee?
Does it have something to do with beer?
Sure, Brew City. Nashville?
Music City.
There you go. New Orleans.
Ooh, I should know it.
It goes by a couple of different ones, but the most notable one is the Big Easy.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Of course.
Some call it the Crescent City.
Oh, I wouldn't know that.
I won't ask you New York. Big Apple.
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
City of Brotherly Love.
Pittsburgh.
Steel City.
St. Louis.
Gateway to the West.
Boom. Look at you. San Francisco.
I could make a joke, but not
yes,
really.
Yes, you could.
And not really apropos.
We could make a lot of jokes about that. We'll just let that one sit. Seattle.
Ooh, I don't.
Emerald City.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
Cincinnati.
River City?
Queen City.
Oh, that's right.
And there you go. Just a few little tidbits. A little something to fuel the water cooler discussions, because we're gonna really stoke them later.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
An iHeart's radio station.
Morning show with Preston Scott. Yeah. Joe Manchin caved. I'll just give you that much. We'll get to it in the big story in the press box. But first, just a quick reminder. I had a lot of people send me email about this. So I'm going to remind you again today, and I'm going to remind you again tomorrow. There's a free showing of 2,000 Mules, Dinesh D'Souza's documentary on research done and videotape surveillance, and it is a documentary on the 2000 election. And we had Dinesh on the program talking about the documentary. It will be Saturday at 4 in the afternoon at the Monticello Opera House in Monticello on Washington Street. Doors open at 3:15, upper auditorium. Free of charge, but they will accept donations because they had to buy a licensing fee to show this to, you know, it wasn't like, you can't buy a DVD and then show it to a group of people. That's a violation of decorum at the very least, but it's a violation of the law as it relates to things like that. So I'm certain that the Keystone Federated Republican women who are presenting this paid a fee. And so if you want to help offset that, you can certainly give. But it's free of charge to get in and see it. I challenge any of you doubters. If you don't think there were improprieties in that election that were significant, you go watch this thing and then come back and talk to me about it. Don't want to hear from you until then. Next little thing here. No one won the Mega Millions, all right? So the jackpot is estimated to go up over $1 billion. They're estimating 1.02. I'm going to guess that it's going to go beyond that. I think by the time Friday night rolls around, that's the next drawing tomorrow night, it's going to be huge. The numbers on Tuesday, in case you're following this kind of thing, 7, 29, 60, 63, 66. The Mega Ball was 15. Now, the 1.02 billion is the value of an annuity option paid annually over 30 years. If you take the cash option, listen to this. If you take the cash payout, you're going to get $602.5 million. And while you sit there and go, that is life-changing wealth, of course it is, for good or bad, right? I mean, it's possible for bad, life-changing for bad. But I just want to ask you a question. Why should the government get $400 million of that money? Why? Why? I don't get it. I don't get how people aren't absolutely enraged by how much money federal government takes. They take it. And if you owe them, God help you. If they owe you, hope for the best. You're not going to get a bunch of interest. It's obscene what the federal government does. It really is. Having said that, I did take a minute when I decided I was going to talk about this to think about, well, if I were to win that kind of money, would I keep working? The answer is yes, I would. I love what I do. Would you keep working? Many of you would not, and I absolutely understand that. I get it, because a lot of people don't really enjoy the work that they do. I like Mike Rowe's view of employment. Find a job and bring your passion to it, and who knows, over time, you might learn to love it. I just think that if whatever it is that you do, if you do it as unto the Lord, you find joy in it. But would you keep working? What would you do? We talked about the tips for people that win lottos. What would you do if you won it? You know, I would in some way, shape, or form set up my children and their children with some form of endowment or, you know, trust. I would absolutely be tithing to my church and be giving to ministries that I know could use that and would change their world. I might buy myself an airplane or something. That could happen.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Driving across the country, delivering the goods we rely on. I say you are all essential workers. And we thank all of you. Welcome to the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Oh my, it's wet outside where we are, rain in the area, so as you make your commute to wherever you are going, just take your time, add a little extra on your commute, leave a little earlier, don't get all worked up, we're here, huh? The Troubadours of Trivia. The messengers of Muse. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. I'm Preston. That's Graham. I'm trying to delay. I'm trying to just, got to go to the next segment. Because I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Don't make me do this. Joe Manchin caved. He and the Chuckster agreed on a deal.
The Chuckster.
And so the Build Back Better volume, 12? How many of these things are we going to do? Is now being dubbed by some Republicans as the Build Back Broke.
Apropos.
It's been retitled because of Joe Manchin, Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. Now we'll get to that here in just a second. Mitch McConnell, in response to the deal, it doesn't give them the amount of money they wanted to satisfy the greenies on climate change, but it puts a ton of money in it. $433 billion on energy and climate provisions. Manchin says that new spending will cut inflation taxes Americans are paying. In other words, he thinks it's going to bring cash prices down. Lower the cost of health insurance, prescription drugs. Ensure our country invests in the energy security and climate change solutions.
What could possibly make him think that?
He believes money's coming back into fossil fuels in some form or fashion. I don't believe it for a second. He may believe that, and that might be the intent of what they're... There are not a lot of specifics yet. There's no way there that Biden's going that way. There's no way. Mitch McConnell, Democrats have already crushed American families with historic inflation. Now they want to pile giant tax hikes that will hammer workers, kill many thousands of jobs. They're raising taxes on businesses, which means, let's say it all together, businesses don't pay taxes, consumers do. This is the single most fundamental thing I can say to you over and over and over and over, because the left loves to demonize businesses, corporations, industries. They don't pay taxes. Why? It's a cost of doing business that they pass on to consumers. Businesses have two choices when their taxes go up. One, raise the price of goods or services. Two, reduce the workforce. Or on occasion, both. Raise prices, though maybe not as much. Cut workers, though maybe not as many. So Joe Manchin is caved. All I can tell you is this quote from the Twitter account of Brian Schatz, Democrat senator from Hawaii. Update on Inflation Reduction Act. This will be the biggest climate action in human history. That's all you need to know. It's all you need to know. 40 minutes past.
Morning Joe with Preston Scott.
Go ahead. Make my day.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Forty-one minutes after the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott. Climate protesters, in fact, are planning to disrupt the annual Democrats versus Republicans baseball game, which will be taking place today, tonight in Washington, D.C., or in the burbs. Can't wait to see what happens there. Democrats will applaud the action to gain some points. Not realize, well, did people not recognize that Americans just don't see this as an issue and they're going to not be responding too happily to it? $370 billion to appease a group of wingnuts and to further hurt the United States economy. Now, on that front, are you aware of the battle that's underway in redefining the word recession? Follow me here. All of a sudden now, the long-standing definition, two consecutive quarters of negative growth, that has been the accepted definition used for as long as I can remember. Certainly my lifetime. If you have 6 months of negative growth, quarter by quarter, two quarters, you are in a recession. All of a sudden, the Biden White House is saying, no, that's not, no. That's shallow. That's not accurate. And their minions in the mainstream media are following suit. Paul Krugman, how long did his mea culpa last? Listen to this. There's a pretty good chance the GDP shrank in the second quarter, which will trigger breathless commentary about there being a recession But he insisted we won't be. He said that's not how recessions are defined. More important, it's not how they should be defined. He's not alone. Economic reporter from the Times, Ben Castleman. Economic output as measured by gross domestic product fell in the first quarter of the year. Government data due this week may show that it fell in the second quarter as well. Such a two-quarter decline would mean a common, though unofficial definition, recession. Most economists still don't think the United States meets the formal definition, which is based on a broader set of indicators, including measures of income, spending, and job growth. I could go on and list all of the reporters from all the outlets that are now trumpeting the noise. That's not a recession. First, observation number one, this is why people hate the media. This is why there is virtually no trust in the media. The reality is, your pocketbook and my pocketbook tell us exactly what we need to know. As James Carville said years ago, it's the economy, stupid. And it doesn't matter what they say. They're just going to continue to erode their own credibility. Have at it. Your wallet, your checkbook, your credit card statements, the amount of groceries you're carrying out of the grocery store for the amount of money that you're spending, the gas pump, it all tells you the truth. The economy is out of control. Inflation is remarkable. And however they want to define it is fine. Let them play their word games. You know the truth. I know the truth. And sadly, most importantly, our budgets know the truth. Didn't they redefine the meaning of the word vaccine?
The Preston Show with Morning Scott. What?
Scheduled to have Steve Stewart with us. Steve is a little under the weather. Trusting that he's back at 110%. Now, did you think about that over the break? Democrats change the rules. They're your cousin in Monopoly. Democrats are the cousin that cheats at board games when you're little, changing the rules to suit them. I had a cousin that used to do that all the time when we played Monopoly. You'd pay the fines, it would go in the middle, and all of a sudden when he gets around to going past go, he collects the money in the pot. Wait a minute, what? You don't get that money for doing that. Oh, yeah, on the third time around, you get whatever's money in there. And I'm first, third time around. What? That's Democrats. They rewrite everything. They cheat. And I mean, what else can you say about changing the definition now of recession to suit them? And again, it's only to their demise, so I ought to be rejoicing in it. It's the principle of it. It's that if this were happening to Donald Trump, do you know what the media would be saying? They would be all over this. And that's a fact. That's not even debatable. Vaccine. Vaccine meant for how long? Immunity. All of a sudden, the word immunity is out of the definition. Male and female. What party is embracing the redefinition of male and female? Anyway, 75%, a new CNN poll, underscore CNN, 75% of Democrats don't want Biden to run for re-election. 3 out of 4. And Joe's out there going, that's not true. Read the polls, Jack. The polls do say that, Joe. They only say they'll vote for you if you're their only choice. The guy who pushed back in the media, I mean, good for him. He pushed back, but he didn't push back correctly. All he had to say was, no, Joe, that's correct. The only way they're voting for you is if you're their only choice. They don't want you to run in the primary. They don't want you running for reelection. And now it's even worse. It's 75%. Phew. Yeah, right? Hey, have you been following this ABC, The View, and Turning Point USA?
Yeah, did Joy Behar call them Nazis again or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. They have their student summit, student action summit down in Tampa. Why Tampa? Now, when you think about it, there's really not a major city. Come to the Panhandle. Just come to the Panhandle. Don't go down there. They don't support you. Orlando doesn't support you.
Man, it would be a wild time in a place like Pensacola.
Pockets of Miami. They've elected a Republican mayor.
They have.
But, yeah, they don't. Come on. Come over. Come up here. Not to Tallahassee. Go to the west.
Panama City, Pensacola.
Destin.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Go there. Anyway, neo-Nazis were out there in front of the conference with anti-Semitic slurs. And, you know, the Nazi swastika and a picture of the so-called Jewish person with exaggerated features, just like Goebbels did during the Third Reich. It's the same thing, right out of the same playbook. DeSantis did nothing. All of that was a lie. All of it. DeSantis wasn't there. He was there the day before. The protesters weren't there. They were outside. They were not invited. They were not part of it. So Turning Point USA's attorneys fired off a note, and it was good. And they gave him one day. You have one day to retract your statements and apologize.
And they did, didn't they?
Well, not really. They did, but I think it was, it would not suffice to me.
It was an apology in modern standards, like a non-apology.
Well, you know, Whoopi Goldberg tried to say, I was speaking metaphorically. No, you weren't. You're a liar. You are not. I can play back what you said. There's nothing metaphoric about that.
Why is that program still on television?
So, here's the latest. The apology was issued. Turning Point USA is still considering a lawsuit. They're not certain that it really was enough, because what they said was, we apologize for anything that anything we said that may have been unclear on these points. Yeah, whatever. Steve Stewart joins us next, hopefully. It's the second hour of the morning show with Preston Scott. Great to be with you this morning. I'm Preston, that is Grant, and it is Thursday. And on Thursday, we talked to Steve Stewart. He is the executive editor of Tallahassee Reports, and he has in his hands a new newspaper. Thank you. A little homage to Rush at the same time.
Yeah, so we've got this paper and another one before the election. We started off with the on the front page is the city commission candidates reveal positions, and we have what I call an election grid.
Yeah,
I always try to think of a concise way to, because you don't have a lot of time with people. They're not going to read a 1500 word article to find out who to vote for city commission seat 3, right? And so right on the front page there's 5 issues, and you can just sort of, like, it's like Mingo. You can put your point on your finger on one of these, say, oh yes, who is that? You know, and so anyway, we're going to continue to refine this for the county also. And then in our final paper before the election, we'll put them in the newspaper. So you get that newspaper and you can just go right into the voting booth and say, look, these are the issues that matter to me. But, you know, a lot of this trying to cut through the clutter and starting to see the social media advertising and actually getting some direct mail. And it's just, you know, I forgot about how much campaigns are not about issues that affect us. And so what we're trying to do is cut through that and say, look, this is what's going to happen if you vote for this candidate. Now, you know, you may want it, you may not, but this is what they're saying. And one of the issues I wanted to touch on in this first segment is the city manager. You know, I don't think it's been mentioned in a lot of these forums that you see going on, but I've asked this question, and it's on this part of the election grid, is that, you know, if you're elected to the city commission, are you going to vote to replace the city manager? Because that is a big decision. That will affect a lot of things. And, you know, if you look at the mayor's race, Kristen Dozier's been very clear. She's got years of experience of dealing with a city manager in her position in Leon County Commission, that she would vote right away to replace the city manager. So, again, if you're interested in that, if that's what you want to see happen, that candidate is going to do that. Mayor Daley has offered support for Reese Goad, as has Diane Williams-Cox. Her two opponents have said they will evaluate the situation when they're elected. Now, when you're a candidate, you get a little bit more wiggle room because you're not on the public record.
Well, and you're not privy necessarily to everything that you would need to make a decision like that, in fairness.
Exactly. Where Ms. Dozier has been in the process, and she has enough information. Now, in the Bellamy race is interesting because Jeremy Matlow is and Jack Porter, who is now running, are very adamant that they want to replace the city manager.
He's got a pitchfork, Jeremy Matlow.
Yes,
he does.
He does. And David Bellamy is again on the. He's saying, "Look, if I'm elected, I'm going to see if his priorities fit with mine, if he's easy to work with." And so he's not going to, you know, right off the bat decide to fire the city manager. But it's important to understand that this election, the city manager is on the ballot because there's two people that want to fire him. And
but you know, that's interesting because that's good and bad. The good is that there are many of us that don't have confidence in the city manager because of issues and because we have too many city managers, which is an orchestrated reality of the city manager to have all kinds of assistant city managers around him. But at the same time, those people that want the city manager gone are also people that, this will lead into our next segment, want to lead this community in a very left progressive direction.
And that's the thing that again, that's the issue we'll talk about in the next segment. But the point is what do you have to do when you decide to fire somebody? You have to find a new one. This is a $1 billion enterprise. Okay. This isn't something where you just go out and, you know, pick somebody off the street to run it. The problem is this now is that Ms. Dozier has told me that, look, I want to replace them, but I want to hire somebody from outside of Tallahassee. Okay. Well, that right there becomes an issue. Well, wait a minute. If you poll the city commissioners and, you know, they say, well, wait a minute, I think we want to promote within. So does that mean that changes your vote? So it gets very complicated. The other thing is, who's going to leave a job to go to to come to this job where the guy just got fired in a 3-2 vote after an election? You know, because that does not that does not yell stability. And so this is a big decision, and I understand, you know, I think that it's easy to be emotional and say, yeah, I just want to get rid of Reese Goad, but there are a lot of things that follow that.
Yeah, because the applicant that comes in his place could be from Seattle or Colorado Springs or any number of other places.
Exactly.
All right, more with Steve Stewart next.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Oh, no.
On News Radio 100.7, WFLA.
All right, ballots are in some of your hands already, and you're trying to figure out what to do voting on local things in Leon County, Tallahassee, as it relates to the school board, the city, the county, wherever you might be, you're voting. And, Steve, the stakes for the local voters are huge.
Yeah, I think, again, if you look beyond the issues, and look, there's a lot of campaign clutter coming out, you know, I want to focus on policies. And as we've talked about here, you know, listen, conservatives and moderates have tried to run for these seats in on the Leon County Commission and the city. That's done. I mean, we sort of went through that. You know, there was a number of people that ran in, you know, 2010 through 2015. And they, you know, the establishment ran by just saying, oh, look, they're Republicans or they're, you know, fans of Rick Scott. And based on the demographics, they lose. And so now there's hardly any moderate conservatives, Republicans running for these offices. Now what's happening is it's all among the Democrats. And what the establishment Democrats are finding out is they've got a left flank of progressives that are very public in what they want to do. I mean, they want to take over city.
Well, they're sort of public in what they want to do. They're picking and choosing what they're willing to talk about.
Yeah, they're picking and choosing on in terms of their platform. And behind the scenes, they've got candidates running in a number of seats. Mm-hmm. And again, all you got to do is look at the group that, you know, that Commissioner Matlow and Commissioner Porter are endorsing or working with to see this. I mean, Adner Marcellin, you know, is sort of the progressive pick against Diane Williams Cox. And so, look, if he was to win, that would be a majority of the city commission. They're starting to sponsor candidates or to support candidates. I mean, Commissioner Jack Porter endorsed a gentleman running for Leon County Commission seat 5. Now, my point in saying this is, look, maybe our community is there. I mean, maybe we're progressive and this is the leadership that they want. My concern would be this, is I think it's interesting to understand what you're going to get. Because what the progressives are doing right now is they're using the FSU vote and ethics as sort of like their lead issues, when really that's really not what they're about. You know, Commissioner Jack Porter voted against the Amazon project, the only elected official to do that. We've had votes against the expansion of the urban services area that would a national home builder was going to come in and build neighborhoods on the southeast side of Leon County. Now, this is a project that Christian Dozier and Mayor Daley voted for. Commissioner Matlow and Commissioner Porter voted against it. So I think that gives you a little bit more of insight on sort of what, you know, this progressive...
kind of a caucus.
Yeah, this progressive mission is.
Well, so you've got the issues that these candidates are campaigning on.
Right.
And then you've got the real issues that are drivers in our community that they're not talking about publicly, but they're talking about privately.
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously replacing the city manager is a big deal for them, because what happens then is if they can, quote, get their person in, then the issues flow. I mean, look, we've heard talks about affordable housing. I got to tell you, I spent some time looking at this. It's so tough to get your hands around exactly what they're talking about.
Intentional.
Yeah, I mean, is it government-sponsored housing? Is it rent subsidies? Is it, you know, so that's, I think that's a big issue. The other issue that I've noticed is, you know, violent crime has been increasing here the last 3 or 4 years, and we're working on a story with this, and, you know, we are missing 30 to 40 police officers if you compare it to a couple years ago. So I think one of the questions that I'm going to ask is, do you support more officers on the street? Because if you look at some of these other reports, for example, traffic violations, there was a study or a report that showed that 2 years ago, pre-COVID, there was 10,000 tickets written for traffic violations, which means that there are police officers out enforcing laws. Last year, that number was cut in half. It was 5,000. So, yeah, we're not getting as many tickets, but is that an indication of less aggressive policing? So I think that's an issue. You don't hear a lot about that in this campaign. I mean, you hear people talk about crime, but you don't hear a lot of nuts and bolts.
More with Steve Stewart coming up. Remember, TallahasseeReports.com is the website. You go subscribe, you get papers delivered to you. Plus, you've got the online content. It's a great bargain. Visit TallahasseeReports.com.
FLA at WFLAFM.com, on your phone with the iHeartRadio app, and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, and iHeart's radio station.
More segment with Steve Stewart. You can read it all at TallahasseeReports.com. Get the paper where you'll get things exclusively there that you will not find anywhere else. And that's generally kind of the rule of thumb with the reporting. You just get things, you get stories, investigative reporting you just won't find anywhere else, because quite candidly, they don't want to ask those questions because they'll upset people. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yes. And, you know, I mean, look, just a couple of things here, I guess, in the last segment we can touch on that are sort of on the radar. The thing about the progressive sort of movement here, it comes at an interesting time because, you know, the city of Tallahassee, with a lot of the problems that these bigger cities are experiencing,
mean progressive cities?
Well, progressive cities is Tallahassee is sort of, you know, is on the verge of some, I think, some major things happening. We already see the Amazon building here and the logistics center there. But we've talked about the airport issues, not issues, but opportunities. And this, and you know, they named what this business was. It's a deassembling industry, which is something completely different than what we have here. It would, you know, employ 900 people. So the point being this is the point that we have these national people outside of Tallahassee looking and saying, look, this is a good place for a logistics center. It's a good place for a disassembly plant. You got a national home builder comes in and says, look, you know, I can build homes in Tallahassee for below what they're selling in Florida. All these people are moving to Florida. Let's go down there, you know, and do this. So we're suddenly getting the attention of these people. And now, you know, this progressive movement, which, look, don't get me wrong, they've been on the right side of the issue on some of these ethics issues. I mean, there's no doubt some spending priorities that I would agree with. The thing that bothers me, though, is these votes on growth, votes against the urban services area expansion.
And it's not just votes, Steve. It's they're attacking. They're attacking business.
Right. And look, I'll give you one of the issues that came up in the urban services area is that, you know, one of the reasons why you expand that is to make sure that you get these developments on central water and sewer, because nobody wants to be on septic tanks. So by expanding this area, that's what the city's going to offer these services. And look, this isn't that the city's giving them. Actually, this is generating money for the city,
which the city uses to fund things.
Exactly. And so so that's why you want to expand the USA. Now, Commissioner Proctor and some others have had an issue with, look, you know, we're expanding the USA for these new homes and these new developments, but we still have homes within the USA that are not on central water and sewer. And that's, you know, that is a valid point. Mm-hmm. So that's not a progressive point. That's a frigging local government issue.
A basic infrastructure.
Basic infrastructure. You know, and that's something that obviously I think most everybody can get behind. And so those are the real issues. But the point of actually not growing or saying, look, you know, when you see these buzzwords that, look, you know, we need to get more cars off the road. You know, we need to be 100% renewable energy by 2035. Those are the buzzwords that say, you know, this just doesn't make sense for our community. And so so it's going to be interesting. I say that a lot. From my perspective, it's going to provide a lot to cover. You know, you look at the local economy with unemployment below 3% and these opportunities that we've talked about. Again, I think the Tallahassee, this area, is poised for some growth. And look, I've said this a number of times. I've done a lot of traveling over the last year. And for someone to say that the city of Tallahassee's growth is uncontrollable does not travel. I mean, what we do here in terms of growth, I mean, developers complain about it. But an example, Leon County Commissioner Christian Dozier voted for the expansion of the USA. So is she in the pockets of developers? She asked a lot of difficult questions about traffic mitigation, about, you know, exactly how where are the streets going to be for these neighborhoods? That's the kind of regulation you want. You don't want just, look, we're gonna try to stack people. You know, we want it to be more dense, you know, around the city proper.
This community has voiced its opinion on that through the market. They don't want to live downtown. It's that simple.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, if you look at the prices of homes and stuff, when you look at the supply of homes and the demand and where they're supposed to, you know, where people want to live. I mean, East Tallahassee. Well, look, the home builder was going to build in Southeast Leon County. So the areas where people will live in Leon County is growing. And now, look, you know, we can let people move to Wakulla County, you know, or Jefferson County, if that's, and that could be the move.
And
you know,
put their businesses in Midway.
Right. And so, anyway, it's going to be this election is more important than I think people realize, and that's what we're trying to do is to get these issues out there.
Folks, get the paper, ask questions, go to forums, but by all means, vote.
That's right. And hey, the election grid—that's my two words from now till August 23rd.
There you go. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you,
Steve Stewart. Tallahassee Reports again. Subscribe. Get that paper. Get the information. Get online. Get a hold of information that will inform your vote. Don't just blindly pick names, please. Inform yourself. 27 minutes after the hour, time for news.
Oh, the- the fun doesn't stop here. Find more on his blog, WFLAFM.com, keyword Preston.
As the news comes out that big guy, the resident, Joe Biden, met with Hunter Biden business associates a minimum of 14 times. And he said on camera, I have nothing to do with my son's business dealings. I don't know. I don't know. No knowledge of any of it. He's a liar. Good morning. Welcome to the second half of the morning show with Preston Scott. I mean, how often can we just keep saying it? I'm sick of saying it. I just want him to be truthful for a minute so I can say, hey, some truth. Instead, the big story in the press box is the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, which is going to add taxes to the business sector, add more red ink to the debt of this country, and cost jobs. All while advancing greenies. Mind you, not to the extent greenies wanted. I don't know if you've noticed, greenies are sensing blood in the water. All of a sudden, because of a few hundred degree temperatures in the middle of America, the climate changers have gone nuts. And a little bit of money's coming their way with this collapse of Joe Manchin. Although there's still hope. Kyrsten Sinema is not necessarily in yet. And if the uber progressives in the House, if all of them don't support it, if four of them defect, saying it's not enough money, it's dead then too. Now, I'm not pinning my hopes on that because I think they're pragmatic enough to step back and say, okay, this is the largest spending bill ever. We're moving the pendulum our way. And they are. They're doing exactly what illiberals and Democrats do all the time. Moving it incrementally left. Incrementally left. Incrementally left. When do you see it move incrementally right? Doesn't happen. So, we have what some Republicans are calling the Build Back Broke bill. Joe Manchin's trying to clean it up. Says there's money in there to invest in fossil fuel. Sure there is, Joe. We'll see how that's spent. I'm not buying it. I am not there. Not there at all. Here's the bigger takeaway of all of this, though. This increases taxes on the business sector, and business sector taxes add up to continued inflation. They think this is going to beat inflation back. I don't know what Joe's thinking. He's not a stupid guy. But if you raise taxes on the business sector, you're raising taxes on people. I'm at a loss as to how to better explain how an economy works as it relates to taxation. Businesses don't pay taxes. People do. Businesses pass on increased taxes from the federal government as a cost of business, a cost of doing business, and they pass it on to consumers for whatever the good or service is. And so it becomes what Joe Manchin says he's defeating. The middle class taxes of inflation. No, this will not help. Anyway, that's the big story in the press box. This spending bill looks like it's getting some momentum now after a year of Joe Manchin fighting faithfully. He's caved. He thinks money's coming back into West Virginia and coal and fossil fuels in general. I hope I'm wrong. I know I'm not wrong on the overall math of this bill, though.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
Like a panther.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Optimum Health Naturally on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. That's what we're shooting for. Want you to feel better, and we want you to do it naturally. We don't want you to be relying on Band-Aids. And we are joined today by Dr. Matthew Zaidemann. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Preston. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful for an old guy. Now, keep me that way. Keep me cognitively sharp, sir.
I'm going to do my best here. And that's, you know, something that I probably get asked about every single day is, you know, what can I take to either maintain my cognitive level? What can I take to improve my cognitive level, memory, those types of things? And there certainly are things, you know, we can take, omega-3s, there's essential fatty acids, different type of herbals that can essentially assist in maintaining healthy brain cells and creating the right environment for cognitive function. But it's important to realize that cognitive function really comes from not so much the health of the brain cells, that's extremely important, but how those brain cells connect. It's kind of like if you have a team, sports team that has some superstars, but as a team they function together very poorly, you're likely to still have a poor result. And so I think that's one thing that we have to really focus on. How do we maintain these connections? And I've kind of cut it down to three major things we can do. One, of course, we talk about it a lot, proper nutrition. So eating, you know, avoiding processed foods, limiting sugar intake. There's huge connections between type 2 diabetes and, you know, Alzheimer's disease, cognitive decline, those types of things. So including a lot of good fats, omega-3s, fish, nuts and seeds, high antioxidant foods from like leafy green vegetables, berries are all good ways to basically control the inflammation. If we can control inflammation, that's going to give us a good starting point. Number two, which I think is one of the most important, is movement and exercise. You know, I think one thing we can all agree on at this point is that exercise helps about everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, with exercise, especially with the brain, what can happen is it helps oxygenate the brain, keep those cells in a good environment. But the movement concept is even more important. You know, one thing that I think most people are familiar with is the idea of muscle memory. So if we go out there and hit 1,000 golf balls every day, we're going to form a more consistent swing. And the reason that happens is because the sensory input of doing that movement repetitively actually forms a new neural network within our brain for us to do it automatically. And so the more we do those types of movements, and especially complex movements, we're going to keep that brain wired and even develop new wires.
Matthew, real quickly.
Yes.
Does that movement translate then to other cognitive kind of things that we engage in throughout the day? So if you're physically active, does that translate to helping you be more cognitively focused at work?
It can be, but I think it's also important, this goes into my last point, is making sure it's not the same activity all the time.
Gotcha.
Doing different things. So, you know, I think a great way to keep not only the brain healthy, but also to help wire new parts of it and keeping that process going, is trying to do skills that we're not naturally good at. So, you know, I'll admit I'm not necessarily naturally a handy person, but I have had actually enjoyed trying to teach myself and learn a new skill, and that fires just new parts of the brain, will help develop weak, underdeveloped parts of the brain, and it's really a fantastic way to keep that cognitive function going for years to come.
Wow. So challenge yourself with some other things that you might shy away from because you're not so good at them.
Exactly. And that's really what we try to do in the office is we use eye movements, we use functional balance, we use a lot of tools to identify, hey, where's the weakest part of your brain? And, you know, that's the area we're going to target and try to stimulate to give balance to that brain and make it healthier overall. And that's essentially what you're doing when you're trying to pick up a new skill that you're not good at.
Great stuff, Dr. Z. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
I thank you. Dr. Matthew Zaidemann this morning. If you want to learn more about some of the things that he does in practice, just visit the website, healthytallahassee.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry,
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Traffic, weather, sports, entertainment, and the truth. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Almost 52 minutes past the hour. Thursday on the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Take your time. It's wet out there. Roads are wet. Raining throughout the region. So if you're not in the rain, good for you. If you are in the rain, take your time. Todd Callender, attorney, will join us. He's been in the midst of litigation for a lot of military members as it relates to vaccine mandates. But he's been digging into government documents as a part of discovery and his litigation preparation, and has come across and is kind of dogging some things that are alarming. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of it goes so deep, I don't understand it all. So I just said to him, Todd, we're doing three segments, and I'm going to tee you up, and I just want you to list the most important things we ought to know, in your opinion. And that's what's coming up next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. But in the meantime, let's pack up the gear and hit the road. What do you say?
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
The book is Unique America, Strange, Unusual, and Just Plain Fun, a trip through America. And these are just off the beaten path, unique, different places. Some you've heard of, some you haven't. I am always amazed at when I think I've found something that is just totally out there. I get an email from somebody saying, I was just there, or I was there last year. It's crazy. And I'm betting right now, I'm making it official, that someone's going to call in having visited this place in Avery Island, Louisiana. Who would guess that all of the world's Tabasco sauce hails from one island? It's true. Despite the fact that Tabasco sauce labels are printed in 21 languages and dialects, the sauce itself comes from here. Even more impressive, the McElhenney Company, which started producing the sauce in 1868, still oversees the operation. For those who have never experienced the home of the world's Tabasco sauce supply, the burn of Tabasco sauce, here's a little quick primer, or some would say primer. The original Tabasco sauce measured 2,500 to 5,000 Scoville heat units on the Scoville scale. Translation, it was one hot sauce. It is currently marketed in 160 different countries, and more than 700,000 bottles are produced each day at the Avery Island plant. Avery Island, Louisiana,
no
is
kidding.
The home. That's it.
Huh.
Tours of the facility are said to be one hot ticket. You can see the original hottie, but they have the McElhenney Tabasco sauce tours on Avery Island, Louisiana. Throwing this in. The Scoville scale was named for its inventor, Wilbur Scoville. In 1912, the American chemist devised a test to rate the heat of chili peppers. The scale ranges from 0 to 16 million.
I didn't know that.
The hottest pepper in the world at this time was 1,304. But that has been supplanted. Officially right now, the number one is the Carolina Reaper.
Yeah.
At 2,200,000 Scoville heat units.
Where's the ghost pepper?
On the list, it is, and this list is a little old.
Well, we'll see.
It's not there. Just saying.
I've traveled.
Minutes after the hour, it's the third hour of the morning show with Preston Scott. Good morning, I am Preston. That is Grant Allen. Show 4,747. Day 554 of America Held Hostage. It is July 28th. It's a Thursday. And I'm pleased to have back on the program Todd Callender. Todd is an attorney. He has been battling on behalf of those wrongfully terminated, kept from service, over vaccine mandates. He's been in the midst of this since the beginning of what some of us might refer to as the alleged pandemic. And Todd, welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
You know, I'm great. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Todd, I said to the audience last hour that there's so much information that you are sharing that it's really tough for me to just get my arms around it all. So I challenged you, break this down as simply as you can. What are the most important things that our listeners should know about what is going on right now?
Yeah, okay, thank you. That's a tough, tall order. If you remember last time I was on, I had mentioned to you that we had evidence and we had experience in terms of case law to suggest that people that received the shots, the quote-unquote vaccines, were actually now the chattel property of the patent holders. Well, I put that in front of the court, so we got bumped up into the Tenth Circuit Federal Appellate Court, and so I made that allegation, and the Department of Justice refused to answer it. My point was that such a thing, vaccinated people being owned by the patent holders, violates the 13th Amendment. We outlawed slavery, and that's what it is. And I was shocked when I got the response of pleadings, in so much that the DOJ refused to answer that question, particularly as it relates to an appellate and constitutional issue. In my world, that's deemed an admission. So you said last time people would drive into the ditch hearing this, but what I'm trying to say is that appears to be the case. Everything that we talked about last time in terms of genetic modification is in fact true. It's been borne out scientifically. And so my point was to try not only to spare people in the military from getting the shots or being mandated to take them, but trying to wake people up generally and say, hey, these are not what's being sold. They are not safe. They're not effective. And by the way, they're not approved. To this day, they remain emergency use authorization. And everybody that's participating in this vaccination program is a laboratory animal. This is a phase 3 clinical trial. It remains so, despite this whole nonsense about a BLA approval. And in the military, in the DOD, they're actually bringing in these European-made Comirnaty shots that don't meet FDA criteria. So there are still emergency use authorization. And the next shoe to drop is coming. So you might remember in March of 2020, the WHO declared a public health emergency of international concern. Those are the magic legal words that allows for the invocation of the 2005 International Health Regulations. It's a multilateral treaty. Every signatory country to that treaty then has to do the same thing. They effectively abdicate their sovereignty, their decision-making, to the WHO, and that happened. And so for the last 2 years, our constitutional and human rights have been suspended. And if you don't believe me, think about these January 6th protesters. They're locked up, solitary confinement. 20 months later, they haven't had so much as a bond hearing. Those are violating the 5th and 14th Amendments of our Constitution. You have a right to speedy trial. Right, you have a right to not be subjected to cruel and inhuman treatment. That's what solitary confinement is. But yet they enjoy no rights. They have a right of habeas corpus. None of them have received that. So here we are, July of this year, and Biden had actually extended these emergency powers. And if you want to look them up, they're under 21 CFR Part 70 and 71. Sorry, 42 CFR Part 70 and 71. And it creates basically a substitute section of, they're not even rights, of privileges, but it's a substitution for your constitutional rights. And so those emergency powers were, in fact, expiring at the end of July. And so we knew that this monkeypox nonsense was going to become another public health emergency of international concern, again, the magic legal words, so that they could reestablish those emergency powers. You know, governments have a habit of keeping as much power as they can get. And that's exactly what happened. And the White House confirmed earlier this week that, indeed, they're going to honor those commitments. And we're going to go right where we haven't left, right? The constitutional rights aren't coming back. These emergency powers are going to be lasting indefinitely. And there's some things I'd love to talk to your audience about and share with you in terms of what to expect, what's coming next.
And that's what's coming next. Todd Callender, attorney with me. We're going to keep the bios to a minimum. You can look up his name. You can look up his background. We're going back to more information next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Being told what to believe by the liberal media? Get a refreshing dose of truth. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Attorney Todd Callender with us. He's been litigating this stuff. He's been in the midst of discovery. He's been in the midst of pleadings. You're hearing the results of some of it. Todd, before we move on, is there anybody in Congress? Are there any court jurisdictions? Are any governors stepping up?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, in terms of Congress, we've gotten a whole lot of help from Senator Johnson. He's been just a vanguard in this whole thing. And in fact, our case got dismissed the day after my friend Tom Renz disclosed the venerable DMED data. That's the database that the military uses to keep track of things. We discovered there was an 1,100% in all-cause mortality morbidity increase since the start of the vaccination program in the DOD over prior years. And lo and behold, the next day we're in a setting conference to sit our preliminary injunction hearing, and we got kicked out, I think for national security reasons would be my guess. Anyway, we're now in the Tenth Circuit. Senator Johnson's been of tremendous help to us. I was very hopeful that your governor would be, you know, the guy leading the way in freedoms. But then, you know, some Florida lawyers and I have been talking, and sadly, your legislature put into law what I'm going to talk about next, and that is involuntary quarantining. We discovered as part of this whole thing that our federal government in 2006, the Department of Justice had created, they'd merged public health, law enforcement, the judiciary, and corrections together. And in 2021, they invoked the Marburg provisions of the PREP Act, which means that apparently we had a Marburg pandemic. Nobody told us because they spent all the money building quarantine camps. And now you find in Florida law that this exists. Twice it's gone in front of the governor. Twice he signed it. So people can now, if you want to talk about suspension of your constitutional rights, you have none, zero. They will grab you on mere suspicion alone and throw you into a quarantine camp, and then you get these truncated rights, which is a basically administrative hearing if you want to get out.
Todd, now correct me if I'm wrong here. What I understood was that was a provision that Jeb Bush put in place and that the governor's people were not aware it was there. Correct me.
That may very well be right. I'm not a Florida lawyer. I'm not a resident of Florida, but this is what Florida lawyers are telling me, is that twice the governor had the chance to remove this, and twice he did not. And that
DeSantis
is aware of it.
Okay. That was an original provision that Jeb Bush put in place in the wake of the 9/11 attacks. Everybody was freaking out over anthrax and our soldiers going over there. And that was, in fact, in there. And we showed it to lawmakers as a result of what you and I had talked about. And they were stunned that it was there. Yeah. But it has not been removed yet, subsequently, is what you're telling me.
Well, I'm telling you that because one of my colleagues in New York had it removed from their law. She went to court. She sued on the basis that this was unconstitutional and a violation. And the New York Supreme Court agreed. That has not happened in your state.
Okay.
How this remains there, you've got an administrative law dictatorship, effectively, and the dictator is your public health. They're the ones that will decide this, and they work for Health and Human Services. And worse than that, by virtue of these treaties, it's actually the WHO that holds all the power, and they will be the ones dictating what response there will be to monkeypox, a new disease that effectively only concerns gay guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 98% of them. But yet, this is now a public health emergency of international concern, and what concerns me most about this is the legal parts, right? This is going to be used to force shots, to force quarantines, to further destroy our country, right? We're already under attack. They cut off the food supply, the water supply, the energy supply. They are grinding us to a halt. 25% of the military has been separated by virtue of refusal to take these shots. What is happening to our nation is being done from above. People talk about the one world government. It already exists, and it's been existing since March of 2020, since there was a declaration. So they're taking over the planet. And by the way, this is all countries. 196 countries did the exact same thing. They are unifying central control in one body called the WHO because of public health emergencies. And in this particular case, it's a joke. Tedros overruled a 9-6 vote in the board who decides whether it's a public health. He called it a tiebreaker. So this is like common core math or something. The board said, no, it's not a public health emergency of international concern. He said, no, it's a tiebreaker, and I vote it is. That's because they have to hang on to the power for what's coming next. And I can assure you, they do not want November elections. They will do anything and everything they can to stop them. And this is all part of it. Next, you will see that public health is being moved under the military as its responsibility. You can see that in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2022 and 2023. And when this order comes down that people have to have compulsory monkeypox shots, that will be coming because the mRNA shots for monkeypox are already approved. And the FDA said about a month ago, we don't care to know what's in them. So the gene modification proteins in the mRNA shots, the FDA doesn't care to know. So these shots will be coming. They will be forced. It seems as though by virtue of the National Defense Authorization Act, that responsibility will be by the Department of Defense under effective control of the WHO.
Hang on, Todd. More with Todd Callender next.
LA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
And iHeart's radio station.
22 minutes after the hour, and we might go a minute late here. It's part of the deal. We just got to get as much time with Todd Callender as possible. I've read so much of what Todd's pushing out. I've verified everything that he's been pushing out. We've talked about some of the things that we've received and then talked about on the air how, you know what, he was right. And it comes as a result of all of the information you're digging yourself through preparing for these lawsuits, right?
Well, it is that. And when you sue the DOD and you have a couple hundred thousand clients, you get a lot of whistleblowers, not just from the military, but I got whistleblowers from all over the world coming forth saying, hey, you need to know this and you need to know this. We have a bench of 1,200 scientists and doctors to choose from. They're all volunteering their efforts and their times and their expertise. And this isn't my information, Preston. This is coming from a whole lot of really smart people. I'm just a lawyer. And thank you for giving me the moment to share this because, you know, people need to know this and they need to know what's coming. And I wanted to share a couple of websites that I know you've asked about. VaxChoice, VaxChoice.com is where we keep a repository of everything I've told you can find there in scientific documents. The other one is to get some help. We're going to have a Marburg epidemic. There's no doubt about it because they already spent the Marburg money. They already claimed we had one, so now they have to see it through. And you would see in Ghana they have this outbreak of Marburg, which is a hemorrhagic fever, and it's got a very high fatality rate. Look, we're in the middle of a genocide. If you look at Agenda 21, you would see that there are three primary goals, the elimination of private property rights, the elimination of borders, meaning loss of sovereignty, and a 95% reduction in the world's population. The UN has a depopulation division. That's what we're in. So people need to take this seriously. And I'm telling you, they're going to blow up this Marburg thing. If it's, we don't know what the contents of the mRNA shots, the quote-unquote approved ones, are. My suspicion is it has something to do with Marburg because they have to do that. And it's a deadly disease. So if people want to visit and get ahead of this, there are some preparatory pages at truthforhealth.org. That's the word for truthforhealth.org. Dr. Lievliet does an amazing job of putting out some information. And I would tell you that one of our expert witnesses is a medical doctor who happens to also be a Green Beret. That's Dr. Chambers, Pete Chambers. And he went and looked in the 2019 Special Forces Handbook. There are available medicines, abendazole and fenbendazole, to treat Marburg. But the CDC removed that. And what they did is they put in place, there's an mRNA shot, it's an experimental one, that they're going to make available to people. And so they built these quarantine camps, having spent the Marburg money. One of my whistleblowers from FEMA says, no, the plan is this. They're going to scare the hell out of everybody to go to these camps. You know, they're preparing for the quarantining isolation procedures, the training for that in FEMA and counties all over the nation has happened all the way until last week. We know it's coming. We know this is what's going to happen. And what we have to do is opt out. We have to say, no, I'm not going to be afraid. No, I've got these tools. I'm prepared for this. Your audience are preppers. Get ready for this one. And we can ride this out. Don't run to the FEMA camps, right, where there's going to be compulsory shots waiting for you. And visit these sites. Educate yourself. And above all, please share with other people, right? Get the word out. And if you look into my name, you'll find I've done hundreds of interviews on this and a lot of other people associated with me. The information is out there if you want to find it.
Todd, in the wake of the distrust that exists in the medical community, how is truthforhealth.org a source to find doctors that are not in on this? I mean, that are not taking part, that are still practicing medicine as we knew it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what's actually happening is an alternate system of society is being created organically, right? We all know we're getting lied to by our government. We've all figured out that the government's actually trying to kill us with these poisons. And people are waking up to that and saying, no more, I'm not going to be a part of it, including 25% of the military opting out, saying, no, I'd rather be a civilian. So what's happening is a self-creating, you know, society outside of that, outside of the beast system. And if you go to Truth for Health and Vax Choice, you will find the resources to find doctors that will help you, naturopaths and regular allopathic, you know, medical doctors. And they're all coming together, and there are thousands and thousands of them. But most of this stuff you can do yourself, Preston. Most of the preparation you can actually do yourself. The key is to not be afraid. Don't fall for this again, right? They hit hydroxychloroquine. They hit ivermectin from everybody. We wouldn't have had a problem, right, if they were just told the truth. They're doing that again. They're hiding the solution because they want you to get these gene therapy shots. They're not even gene therapy. They're gene modification shots, right, so that they can own you. And the problem is this: if you are now genetically modified, are you a human? Are you a Homo sapien? The answer is probably not. In that case, do you enjoy human rights? Do you have any? You know, does the penal code protect you against homicide? Maybe not. So people have really got to confront this and say, what rights do I have?
Todd, we could go on for a very long time, but I asked you to give us some bite-sized pieces, and I think you've done that. And I know we'll talk again. Thanks very much for your time today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you, Preston.
Thank you. Todd Callender, our guest. And again, those websites, Vax, V-A-X-X, choice.com, and Truth for Health, F-O-R, truthforhealth.org. You might want to keep those websites handy. But that's where you're going to find documentation, VaxChoice.com. All of the things he's talked about, and it was quick, I know. The information is there. The documents, federal government, World Health Organization, it's there. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
hours of infotainment where you are all essential workers. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Okay. I think I need to unpack a couple things here for you.
Well, after that interview with Todd Callender, I may need an outline. Can I get this, like, in a book? I'm just going to listen to that interview for, like, once a week and see if I can remember it.
I think there are a few things I want to say up front. Number one, you know me. I am not prone to...
Wow! Tinfoil hat-ism?
Panic-inducing stuff. I trust God to lead me to and from people, sources that I need to zero in on and avoid. I both ways. And I hope that the fact that Todd has been in the midst of all the litigation dealing with the forced mandates and the medical discovery, and you start to piece things together, what you're seeing, what you know. Are you paying attention to the numbers of people that are just dying? That make no sense. I keep seeing story after story of famous people, celebrities, athletes, former athletes that are just showing up dead. And no one knows why. And I absolutely believe that the vaccines... First, they're not vaccines. It's not about belief. I know that. That's scientific. They've admitted that. Fauci's admitted that. They don't prevent anything. So why have they been, and I've been asking this question, why are they so dedicated to pushing this in babies, in children, in youth, in the healthiest demographic of our country? That should have zero fears of dying of COVID. It just doesn't make sense. And so I'm going to keep this page with these websites around for you. And I'm just going to remind you, you do your own digging. You satisfy your own conscience. But I will tell you up front, you better be prepared to dig. VaxChoice.com, two X's, truthforhealth.org.
I am fair. I am good. I'm a happy example. Glenn is on
9 to noon.
I am stronger every day
on WFLA.
All right, so we've got, obviously, the story we talked about with Todd Callender, the coming health crisis. And we've known. They're going to do something to try to get out of this midterm election, and I believe that. I absolutely do. There may be an election, but they're going to do everything possible to make it difficult for voting and so forth, or to enact new rules for voting that allows for who knows what to happen. Other big story, of course, the reconciliation package. Joe Manchin has caved. The third story, Governor Ron DeSantis announces initiatives to protect Floridians from ESG financial fraud. How much protection is there, though? That's up for debate. But I wanted to get the comments and thoughts of our policy guy, Sal Nuzzo, Vice President of Policy, James Madison Institute. Sal, what are your thoughts?
Good morning, Preston. How are you doing today?
Yeah,
it's a tough one.
So, it was a step in the right direction. Is that how we ought to look at this action by the governor?
Oh, absolutely, and he's getting right ahead of it, as he should. And to put this into context, if the Green New Deal were a virus, it is infecting your retirement accounts through the concepts of ESG, environmental, social, and governance investing and scoring. This is a concept that at its root has to do with the three largest hedge funds on the planet. These firms control about $22 trillion in investments around the planet. Now, what they are doing is they are acquiring companies, they are getting stakes in retirement accounts, your 401ks, public pension programs, and they are using those vehicles to inject the principles of the Green New Deal into the companies that they're acquiring, because they know that they can't really do it at the ballot box. They can't do it via policy, so they're trying this back door. So the governor has rightly taken a step out ahead of this, and I would say kudos to him for acknowledging it and promising that the 2023 session is going to see some policy action.
Let me share a comment from our friend Justin Haskins with the Heartland Institute, who I think most would agree it's been in front of ESG, the Great Reset, some of this World Economic Forum stuff more than anybody else. He said that the bill is an outstanding step in the right direction. With that said, it's far from perfect. It would stop banks from engaging in certain kinds of ESG discrimination, notably discrimination related to political, social, religious views, but still allow many other kinds of ESG discrimination. For example, under his proposal, banks could still deny you access to a loan, mortgage, or even a checking account if you do not have solar panels on your roof. Similarly, a bank could deny loans to businesses that don't have the right racial composition, whatever right means, within its workforce. And though it's a step in the right direction, it's far from what is needed. Based on your early analysis, do you concur?
I would say it is absolutely the best first step the governor can take. And I absolutely agree with the points that Justin had made. Those things are all absolutely possibilities in the future. But I do want to kind of encourage the folks who are kind of guiding the policy process to never make perfect the enemy of the good. And so we need to take a first step. The governor, I think, has rightly taken a moderate but aggressive first step toward protecting private pension programs and ensuring that the principles behind ESG won't be infecting those. But I definitely see this as a long-term battle against kind of the woke investment strategies that are going to involve a lot of the things that Justin and Heartland are absolutely on the forefront of working on.
Would it be fair to say, given Governor DeSantis's national platform at this point, his profile, that by just doing what he's done, he's elevated this issue at the very least in front of Republican governors across the country?
100%, and that's largely what we want to see. The challenge of kind of combating this is it's very complicated and involves some principles and ideas that a lot of people are just not kind of they're not as knowledgeable of as they are in other settings. And so part of this is beginning to engage ordinary Floridians in the concepts behind this so that they become familiar with it. And then as they learn more and as they see what the kind of the policy solutions are, they get behind that at the grassroots level.
As always, I appreciate your insight, my friend. We'll talk again in a few weeks.
Will do. Take care, sir.
Thank you. Sal News with us this morning, Vice President of Policy, James Madison Institute, talking about the governor's actions on ESG. First steps, good first steps, more to come. And more to come on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Talking about the fact that you just scroll through the news and you just find these weird, unaccounted for deaths. from people that just are dying. Young people, athletes, former athletes. It's like, what the heck? And then you just dial it back and remind yourself, well, people got vaccinated. Bunches of them.
That is the only major difference in large swaths of the population from one year to the next. When you look at the data from like 2020, 2019, standard deaths across the board, there's a certain rate across age spectrums. And then all of a sudden, in the last year, those numbers have just poof through the roof. What's the one common denominator? The shot.
And you're seeing something online.
Yeah. As we're having these conversations, hashtag died suddenly is trending in the United States.
On Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah.
I know that people that haven't gotten the shot are getting this new version of COVID. But most of the people getting sick are people that gotten shots. It's like the sickness magnet.
New England Journal of Medicine. I saw this just yesterday. Unvaccinated individuals are less contagious with the subsequent strands of COVID than the vaccinated.
How is it that a stupid local radio show host knows more than alleged experts guiding our country's health policy?
Brought to you by Barrino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
It's all I got. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say I told you so. I don't.
I just hope. I hope enough people have their eyes open now that we don't fall for it another time.
I don't want to say it. I don't want to be that guy. You know, we talked about a lot of things on the show today. The big story in the press box kind of changed, evolved a little bit. Had a great visit with Steve Stewart, Todd Callender. But, you know, we circle back and what we'll lace all this together. We have an election coming up. November. What's happening right now in the grand scheme of November? The primaries and so forth, small potatoes compared to the stakes of the national election come November. And I'm not going to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy who says that. I just spikes the football and I don't. I've always found it so unbecoming. We'll do the show again tomorrow. But I got to think of something to say to end the show. I told you so.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.